Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome along. I note that hashtag Chabby Out isn't doing as much traffic as it was a few days ago. Well, that's the Chabby paradox. Concede three goals against a third division team that's named after a train and then get back to being the best defence in all of the leagues anywhere. They're 3 points clear at the top of La Liga, but yes, they are weirdly rubbish in cup competitions. Maybe Diego Simeone should have played the Champions League music before the match at the Metropolitano. Or attacked, you know, that's always a possibility. ITV4 did get something for their money with a couple of red cards for Stefan Savic and Ferran Torres after the kind of playground fight that we used to see before schools introduced VAR. It was a great weekend for Barca, with Real Madrid losing at Villarreal. And for the first time in their history, Real Madrid were awarded a dodgy penalty. No, hang on, sorry, that's not right. For the first time in their history, Real Madrid fielded a team with no Spanish players at all, not even a token right back. There were six Spaniards on the bench, which must have been a squeeze, given that Eden Hazard takes up two seats. It was a good weekend for Real Sociedad, for whom 37-year-old David Silva scored in a win at Almeria, and for Real Betis, for whom 52-year-old Luis Enrique scored in their win at Rayo Vallecano. At the bottom, Sevilla won a league match at home for the first time this season, scoring two entire goals, which improved their tally by 50%. And there was some movement at the bottom, but obviously not for Elche, who continued to disgrace themselves and let us all down. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with this endless La Liga action. That's two matches in as many months. When, oh when, will we get a break and watch some football in the Middle East? Wednesday, Real Madrid against Valencia, who, in the strong likelihood that you've forgotten, lost the cup final last season, and we're all pretending that the whole thing isn't just designed to get us a Clásico in Saudi Arabia. I've got a crucial question, Terry, before we get on to the matters of the day. Paul Campbell wants to know, what do pundits talk about when you're shuffling papers? So at the end, when the lights go down and everyone sits there shuffling papers.
Good question, actually. Probably something to eat.
Yeah.
It seems to be a lot of people.
Well, is it free TV?
Free food. Free food.
Yeah. Do they feed you better at ITV than at La Liga TV?
Yeah. And it's a shorter stint, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's just the one game, and just you know, game. It's fun being involved. fortunate to be asked to go on La Liga TV on Saturday night, so that was good fun as well. And then back out the next weekend for quite a long stint of doing, working Saturday, Sunday, Monday next week.
So next weekend. So I noted with interest, I don't know if you saw it, because you were obviously, you're probably travelling back, but they interviewed Xavi in hologram form. He was in the hologram, and Andrea was at pitch side, and he asked some of the questions to Xavi. So he's at pitch side speaking into the studio, and the studio then is obviously relaying that to Xavi. I'm thinking, he's probably only 30 yards away from him. Just at the end. He's down the tunnel. He's at the end of the tunnel. Just go and ask him if you want to know. Anyway, bit of TV nonsense. Shall we get down to the business of the game? I think Xavi said the word suffer about 15 times in that interview. On the subject of stuff, Simeone is a masochist, isn't he? Why?
And my frustration was I was reading the, obviously preparing for the game during the day, reading the possible team selections, which normally in Spain, in AS and Marca and other publications, they seem to get it right. So they must have some knowledge, inside information, and they seem to get it right. And I'm thinking on this one, though, that they've got this wrong. Surely, after they played really well against Elche, in terms of an attacking team, that he will keep Morata up front and he'll play João Félix and Griezmann as the two number 10s and play a similar system. I use that as a starting point against the Barcelona team who haven't got Lewandowski, are still struggling to try and find a right back that plays there on a regular basis. We don't know the best centre back pairing that Xavi believes is the best centre back pairing, though Jordi Alba is suspended. And lo and behold, the press were right again. Morata was earmarked to be left out, and that was the case. And it frustrated me that there was a possibility of Atletico winning that game last night and actually closing the gap to eight, which is doable. Mm. It's tough, unlikely, but doable. So it was a must-win game for Atletico Madrid in terms of their fight for the title, not just their fight for the top four. So it was a cautious start to the game for Atletico Madrid. They started off cautious. It was a 5-3-2 without any real focal point of attack. They couldn't get João Félix in the game at all during the match. He got criticised for his performance, but I felt for him because he didn't get an awful amount of a lot of service. There wasn't a lot of attacking play from Atletico, and I just found it in the circumstances a strange way of Atletico approaching the match in terms of that's, you know, a must-win game against a team missing some of their top players. And he set the tone for, you know, starting off with a negative mindset. And that's how the team played. And then it just, even at half-time, I'm thinking, just put Morata on. Just make one change. Yeah. Maybe go to a back four and put Morata on. And, you know, you're losing. You need to change something. And it was Xavi who made the changes first. And then Simeone reacted. And it's really difficult. Co-commentating on Atletico was really difficult. And also Barcelona last night. Most games you commentate on, you're the same as in the commentator's position. Pretty soon you get a setup and you look at it and you think, oh, this is a 4-3-3 or 4-4-2, three at the back. With Atletico, all the way through the game, it changes all constantly. You know, at times you think, is it a 4? Is it a 3? Is Llorente playing right back, right wing back, or right side midfield? Molina was likewise. Was he playing right back, right wing back, right side midfield, or right sided centre back? At one stage, we thought he was doing man to man marking job on Pedri. So you're looking at the line, and sometimes there's a back line of 5, sometimes there was a back line of 6. And sometimes you're looking at a deep 5-3-2 with the back 5 on their own penalty at 18-yard line. The midfielders in front and Griezmann and João Félix dropping right back in as well. And you're looking at it and thinking, this couldn't get any deeper. Hence the goal. It took a moment of brilliance from Pedri to look up and not play the predictable, safe, sideways pass or into a player's feet and look up and think, well, there's nothing on here. There's a little gap. I can have a dribble. I could take 2 or 3 players out, and he moved the ball onto Gavi, Gavi onto Dembele, and it was an excellent goal, magnificent goal from Barcelona. But then, the game management changes. It's there for Atletico to change the momentum of the game. For Barcelona, they've got their 1-0 lead. They're probably waiting for an onslaught, which happened for about 10, 15 minutes at the start of the second half from Atletico. They ended the first half well. But it is just that frustration of a manager putting the brakes on constantly on a team that you showed up. I thought it's not an impressive result, beating Elche 2-0. But I thought the performance showed signs. And we keep seeing that from Atletico. Every now and then you get a performance from them. And you think, oh, this. And then the next game, he will change the shape of the team. And it has to me a look of a team that's confused, even during a game. You know, they set off with one style, and by the end of the game, I'm looking at, and I joked in commentary that Griezmann played about 4 different positions. Llorente played in about 4 different positions in one match. And there was others that you look at. Molina, he played in 3 or 4 different positions. And you're thinking, is that any way to get some consistency and in a team that should be doing better than what they're doing? They're in a battle for the top 4 now, but last night was a chance to actually close the gap on Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Can you figure out
they've played them twice again?
Can you figure out why? I'm not asking you to sort of put yourself in his head here, but
yeah, I think his mentality now is that don't concede, don't lose games, and when you manage like that, it's you fail then to go on and actually win a game of football, and particularly big games. His record isn't great against Barcelona, so it changed from you tend to. As a manager, and I've only coached and managed teams that aren't expected to win be at the top of the league. So you do have to conform. You do have to try and you have to make up that difference in quality by doing something different, and play for teams like that as well. So you do vary your tactics on a weekly basis, if I'm being honest, because you know that you can't just concentrate on your own game. Now, if you're Pep and you've managed, you know, big clubs and you've got the best teams and the best players and the biggest budget and all that comes with being a highly successful manager, I assure you they're not sitting there every week thinking about changing their system because they're playing, you know, Hatafe if you're Xavi, or, you know, Man City if you're playing Crystal Palace. You're not thinking, well, we need to change that this week. We need to play this system because they've got good players. Your coaching is consistent because you believe you've got the best. You should win more matches than you lose. So you have a consistency about your style of play, which helps. Now, it's tough for the smaller clubs, the clubs that don't win every week, to do that. But Atletico Madrid should fall into that category of even playing against Barcelona at home, with Barcelona missing important players. And this isn't the best version of Barcelona. I think Atletico should have, and Simeone should have, concentrated purely on his own strengths rather than being overcautious, worrying about Barcelona, and it hinders his team's performance. So I have no logic. I can't find any logic in why they looked so good with Morata. All three individuals. Morata did his job against Elche. He got a goal. It was a fluky goal, but he got a goal. But he led the line well. And that allowed Griezmann and João Felix to flourish in terms of what they do best. And that isn't playing with their back to goal. That isn't challenging centre-halves for high balls in the air. It was, you know, in two intelligent players, one dropping short, one running in behind. They combined for a goal against Elche with Griezmann clipping it to João Felix. And it looked a really good... Hey, you're talking three really good players there to build an attack round and then build the structure around the rest of that, around those three players, because they've got some great players at Atletico Madrid. So the frustration might have come out in my co-commentary that I would love to see, you know, Simeone... I mean, after that performance from João Felix and the result, it does look now more than ever, if they can move him on somehow on loan in this January window, they will do. And I think it's a shame for Atletico. It's a shame for La Liga if he leaves the league.
Because starting from where we are, I'm not against it now. If Simeone's mindset was different, because I think, as you describe it, the only explanation I've got is that he is psychologically happier being the first kind of manager that you described, with you back to the wall, battling underdogs and all of that. And he's never really embraced, when it comes down to it, when he's under pressure, he doesn't want to be an attacking manager. It's not in his mindset. He doesn't adjust to it well. So therefore, I think João Felix is at the wrong club, or certainly with the wrong manager. So therefore, if he leaves, I would say, well, it's a shame, but good for him, because he's wasting his time. It's a harsh way of putting it, but I think he is wasting his time with Atleti.
Yeah, no, I agree on that aspect as well. I don't think it's going to work out. And I don't think Simeone will leave. I don't want Simeone to leave, to be honest. I want Simeone because Atletico now is a very different club to the one that he took over. But there is a different expectation level from Atletico fans, rightly so, the new stadium, you know, in terms of what they've achieved, the budget they're allowed to spend on salaries, the budget that they've spent on transfer fees, the buying of the likes of João Felix. We forget Thomas Lamarcos, 70 million euros.
And Marcus Llorente
was approaching 40, 50 million euros. A lot of money.
You have to be a certain age to remember the endlessly failing version of Atleti.
7 years now.
Yeah,
the anniversary was recent. You know, winning the Europa League was his first trophy, a couple of titles, a couple of Champions League finals. Extraordinary work he's done. But he always did that. And a recent title as well, as an underdog. And they weren't really. I mean, they've been underdogs for quite a while now. But it's just that over the cautious approach that frustrates me when they're, you know, they're not the team that, you know, one friend at right back who was a right winger at Osasuna that was having a particularly successful career changing those players into, you know, champions, you know, successful players, international players, title winners. That was, you know, fantastic from Simeone. Now he's buying, you know, players that are at the top of the game, superstars.
Yeah,
I mean, getting Griezmann back was a big coup for them. I mean, they did successfully, let's call it what it is, knock Barcelona for 20 million on the fact that they didn't want to pay 40, they only wanted to pay 20 for Griezmann. Then we went through that silly period, didn't we, with Griezmann coming on the 60th minute in every game. Then Griezmann has a fantastic World Cup and they got away with it. They had to pay 20 for it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Griezmann has a fantastic World Cup. You're thinking, Barcelona must be thinking, why just didn't we wait until the World Cup? And then test Atletico's resolve. So, you know, to bring Griezmann back was a big issue in terms of finance, the transfer fee, the salary and stuff like that. And you look around all the other players in the team. I mean, Rodrigo De Paul wasn't cheap. You know, they've spent a lot of money. And it's just frustrating when you see a big game like Atletico Madrid against Barcelona, with the circumstances going into the game, with Barca missing players and Atletico having to close this gap from 11 points. I expected blood and thunder from Atletico Madrid and an attacking intent. Oh, I don't know why.
Expect.
I don't know why.
It was
required.
Yeah.
We didn't get that.
Yeah.
Bits of 10, 15-minute spell here and there where they did, because the crowd demanded it. The crowd sort of, a little spark on the pitch, the crowd got involved and the players kind of ignored what Simeone wants them to do. And for 10 or 15 minutes, they looked brighter and better.
Yeah.
But
it's the way to go with Atleti, isn't it?
A missed opportunity for Atleti.
Yeah, but what they do in the transfer market doesn't match that philosophy. So that seems to be the sticking point.
And Barcelona, I mean, we've barely spoken about Barcelona. I thought they were pretty poor, to be honest. I mean, Lewandowski is a huge miss. I am getting concerned about Ansu Fati, but at the same time, want to be patient.
Yeah.
But I want to see a little spark, you know, something that gives you that, as a sign. You know, it's difficult playing up front on his own, which he was last night. When you look at it, Dembele was wide. The team looked unbalanced. Lots of midfield players. No real centre-forward. Even Ansu Fati was dropping wide. He was going into wide positions. He was dropping deep. We wasn't sure Pedri, Gavi, where their positions were. So when you commentate on that game, I talked about the difficulty in commentating on Atletico. Barcelona was similar last night as well. That you're looking at and thinking, okay, there's a back four there, but then De Jong and Busquets and Pedri and Gavi and Dembele, one striker, no obvious player on the left. So I thought they were poor, but they managed the game well and got a goal at an important time. And then I wouldn't say they controlled the game, but it was quite a comfortable win in the end. But Atletico had their opportunities. I mean, Araujo's clearance from Griezmann was sensational. Match-winning, you know, clearance on the goal line. Atletico didn't make the most of numerous set pieces. At times, only putting three or four in the box. And you're thinking, it's against Barcelona. And I'm looking at the team sheet while I'm working on the game. And I'm thinking, well, they've got five or six big players. Barcelona got two or three. You've got Griezmann, who takes a wonderful set piece. Lamar, when he comes on, takes a wonderful set piece. Why are you not flooding the box? Why are you not causing more issues with the? And that's because they've got three or four players in the box and three or four players on the edge of the box and worrying about a counter-attack. And you think, no, go all in. You know, chuck it all in. You even at 0-0, but at 1-0 down, you've got no choice. But so Atletico had their moments. They weren't useless by any means, but I just thought it was a frustrating approach from Simeone, which I don't know why after 11 years I thought anything different might happen. So it was a fantastic result for Barcelona. Really good goal. I don't think it was a foul in it from Gavi.
No.
Yeah, you always worry as a co-commentator thinking, am I missing something? Am I being old-fashioned? But that is just a player. A, the defender tries to win the ball in a position where he shouldn't. He slides in on the wrong side of Gavi. And Gary automatically, instinctively puts his arm out and his elbow, and he's not thrusting it into the player. He's holding the player off and moves the ball on. The right decision.
Little strong fella, wasn't it, that Gavi? To use your strength down low and roll him, it's fine.
Yeah. So it was, but there are a number of set incidents this weekend which make you think, now I'm getting to the point of, well, I don't think that's a foul, or I don't think that's handball.
Right. So we do that.
It might be. That's excellent win for Barcelona. Excellent position they find themselves in the team because of the outcome, the result of the game of the season so far, the Ceramica.
Right. Let's do that then. So Villarreal beat Real Madrid by 2-1. Talk about the game and Villarreal's performance, and then we'll get on to the Real Madrid and handballs and whatever.
Yep, back in the new stadium, a vibrant atmosphere. Everyone's playing a part. We're seeing a team playing under Quique Setién, which have all the hallmarks of a Quique Setién team, but there are slight changes. There is an output. There is an end product. The ball is getting forwards quicker. Plus, Gerard Moreno is back. Hugely important to Villarreal. Hugely important in this game. It was a sort of clash between him and Benzema, and he was the winner easily. It was a sensational performance from him. And so it was from the first minute to the last, Villarreal with foot on the floor, closing down quickly, all over the pitch, moving the ball forward quickly. Some fantastic individual performances. Pepe Reina in goal, the age of 40. Albiol still pulling up trees at 37. Baena in midfield was awesome. You know, the amount of work he covered and the quality he showed. Chukwueze, Pino, Gerard Moreno up front were always a threat. So my only criticism of Villarreal in this game is they didn't win by more. That was there was certain periods of the game where it was tight and it was close. When they went 2-1 ahead and Real Madrid had to, you know, throw caution to the wind, Villarreal should have scored another 2 or 3 goals. As it was, they ended up not hanging on. Well, they were. Yeah, Real Madrid, you know, put up a really good effort to get an equaliser. Some contentious penalty decisions. Fortunately, in this game, both teams got one.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of incidents I was talking about where I'm thinking, well, I don't think that's handball, but
let's talk about
is.
That. So the Foyt one is, honestly, that's a ludicrous handball, isn't it? So, because only Vinicius saw it, didn't he? No one else even thought about it. The ball, I don't think, moved off its trajectory at all.
Exactly. It just brushed. He was in a running motion, it came over his shoulder, and it just brushed the hand. Would that be given handball anywhere else on the pitch?
Because the ref didn't give it, and it would take there's no way you'd even think about it without, you know, that's why VAR's changed the game. It's made the footprint of the referees too heavy, isn't it? Because they're looking for reasons to disallow goals. They're looking for reasons to give penalties all the time. And if you look carefully enough, you find one eventually. And it's not an anti-Real Madrid point to this one, because actually I wouldn't. Obviously, in today's climate, you're going to give the second one. But I'd still dispute that.
Alaba almost broke his arm trying to avoid it. He knows he's falling. He knows the ball is rolling towards his arm. He tries to pull his arm away and fall awkwardly.
And he's falling.
The potential there for dislocating your shoulder or your elbow or breaking an arm to avoid a ball that's rolling at 10 miles an hour towards your arm that's falling on the floor where you're using your arm to break your fall. In the circumstances, because he'd given one at one end, based on the fact it doesn't matter how, but it touched a hand, it touches an arm, they had to give the second one. So it kind of balanced itself out with both teams getting the penalties that we look at now and think, well, I personally don't think it is, but it probably is. That doesn't make any sense, but you think that's what you're trying to guess what VAR is thinking now. So it as I say, it balanced it out. But Villarreal were fantastic. Some awful defending from Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid's performance then.
A strange team selection, not just purely because they had no Spanish players, but and they did have some issues. I was looking at why Militao played right back, Carvajal wasn't available, Odriozola is injured. Amazing how Odriozola and Mariano Diaz get injured. Well, they never play. And yet when there is a chance to play, they're injured. So he was forced into doing something different. Lucas Vázquez, I guess, is what people probably thought might the player that might have played in that position, but he chose Militao. Alaba, Rüdiger, centre-backs, and Mondi at the left-back position. Mondi gives the ball away for the first goal. And you talk about, remember Ancelotti said about he loved Nacho. Nacho wasn't available either. He loves Nacho's pessimistic personality as a defender. When Mondi gives that ball away, it's a poor pass. It's not the end of the world. But when he gives that ball away, there is no pessimism from any of the Real Madrid back four. Militao is on the halfway line playing right wing, waiting for the ball, expecting. And I understand why, that Mondi wouldn't give the ball away so cheaply. But when Mondi gives the ball away cheaply, the two centre-backs are 20 metres apart, Mondi's out of the game, and Militao's at right wing. Because Militao is expecting the ball to be transferred into midfield and then maybe into that right-back, right-wing position where he's taken up. So the space that was available from there was horrendous from Real Madrid's point of view. Now, what I'm saying is the pessimism that Nacho shows, he might have been in a different position to Militao because he might have been thinking, well, if he gives that away, I need to be in a position to cover that mistake. Yeah. So that's what we get about that pessimistic approach from Nacho, which is valuable at times. So they weren't able to play the ball out the back. Villarreal closed them down quickly. The three players up front did a fantastic job, backed up by the midfield, Coquelin and Parejo and Baena. And they made life really difficult for Real Madrid to get out, to get into midfield, to get the ball between the lines, through the lines into the midfield players into the front players, and it made life really difficult for Real Madrid. I thought at one stage in the first hour or so, it was going to be one of those games where a team like Villarreal are on top, playing really well, don't take their chances, and then Real Madrid punish you. That we see that so often. It's not just Real Madrid, it's big clubs in general. So you feel that if you don't take your chances, you're going to regret it. But in this case, Villarreal were able to get the first goal, hang on, and to the win afterwards. And after getting the two incidents with the penalties, Dan Juma, that's my point about Villarreal is they had so many counter attacks where it was 3-2 or 4-3 or 2-1, and they had a plan for everything else apart from that. And you saw the player running with the ball, and you're thinking he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where he's going to go on his own. He doesn't know to pass to his left or his right. Even with that remarkable incident with Dan Juma, it was a fantastic game. Real Madrid get a corner, send everybody forward, literally. Courtois goes up with 6'10", 5'5", and they take a short corner to Asensio to blast from 30 yards. It gets blocked, it's cleared. Courtois fuming. He does actually make a real good effort to run all the way back. And Dan Juma's running through, and you can see him thinking, hey, there's a massive open goal. There's no goalkeeper in. And the last thing he thought of was shooting. He was trying to pass. He didn't know when to shoot. He went to pass. And he sets it off and it just goes past the post. Luckily for Villarreal, it was the last kick of the match. But it was an extraordinary end to the game. Because if you're Real Madrid and you've got a big set of players, again, I'm talking about the Atletico Madrid, the advantage. Villarreal desperately hoping you take a short corner to Asensio to shoot from 30 yards and then you've got the chance of a break on. So it was a lovely game of football. It really was. Both teams played their part. It was end-to-end stuff. No sign of Real Madrid at any stage thinking we'll settle for a draw here. So when it was level, they were still going for the win as well. It was a fantastic, really, really good game of football. And Villarreal been a good spell for them, hasn't it? Sticky start from Kike Setien. There was talk at one stage of him losing his job, having only been in it for 3 or 4 weeks. And if you consider it, I mean, playing away from home all season in Levante Stadium, the manager was taken away from them because there was no way they were going to make a change. They've been successful in Europe so far this year into the next stage of the conference, European Conference League. All of a sudden, the manager goes, new manager comes in, sticky period in terms of results. But in the last week or so, you're looking at them now as genuine contenders for a Champions League spot, particularly with the way that they're playing and they're back in their stadium. Gerard Moreno is fit again and healthy. Hopefully that continues for their point of view. So it's been a good pre-World Cup, post-World Cup little period for Villarreal. Look, a really good team now.
Are you concerned about the lack of Spanish players in Real Madrid's team?
Yeah, I guess. They are the club of Spain. When you live out there and you go and watch games, you do get a sense of around the whole country, everybody, a lot of people support one team, and then either Real Madrid or Barcelona. In most cases in Spain, it's Real Madrid. I guess they're the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL, America's team. This is Spain's team. When you look at its 121-year history and it's never happened, but for a long period of that, it couldn't happen.
That hasn't been an issue until recently.
Yeah, it couldn't happen because there was, you know, a limit on foreign players and stuff like that. And then in the last 20, 30 years, you're probably looking at iconic Spanish players that have kept that.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That run going. Jarrell, Ramos, and players before that as well.
Because he is.
You know, famous. Yeah. But they're lacking that at the moment now. There's no iconic Spanish leader that is going to play in Real Madrid's team, who's at the club now, that he's going to play every week and be, you know, that Spanish leader of Real Madrid. So I'm pretty sure Ancelotti didn't think of it as something he wanted to avoid. It probably never crossed his mind. He picks the team based on, and it's a very cosmopolitan sport now, isn't it, all over the place. So, but I'll be interested, actually, to see what the fans, that would be my, as a neutral.
And also to podcast listeners, do you have a view on it? Do you get in touch if you do. You know, I'm with you. I think there should be some kind of geographical element to your football club, in that, you know, I'm not, obviously you've got to look for the best players, fair enough, but I still think that there's you mix it up a bit, and I just think that the idea that I think Real Madrid should have some Spanish players, that Barcelona should have some Catalan players, that it's good if Liverpool have a couple of a Scouser or two, or that Celtic have some blokes from Glasgow playing for them, you know, that I just think that that's a good
thing. It's important. I think it's important as well for the culture of the club, because where are all the supporters coming from? And you want an identity with the supporters. You want, I mean, every club loves one of their own coming through, you know, and it's whether it's a Londoner, and, you know, Mancunian, a Catalan, and every club loves one of their own players. And they adopt players that even if they're not from that area, but they've come through that system. They're adopted as one of their own. And, you know, it's a player coming through their system. So, but there isn't any obvious players at Real Madrid at the moment, is there, in terms of what he has to play? I mean, Carvajal is obviously the first choice right back.
Yeah.
That's it.
You could find Nacho, a better one.
Sencio, Lucas Vasquez, Mariano Diaz, Jesus Vallejo.
Yeah. Well, the bench was full of Spanish.
Fringe players. And I personally think it is a shame. I do miss a risk. Ramos, Casillas, Raúl, who's the leader, the Spanish leader of Spain's club Real Madrid.
If they'd spotted how good Hakimi was when he was at Real Madrid, I know he's a Morocco international, but he's born in Madrid, so he would be the local guy. And then I don't know how you classify it, if you know. I think they basically missed Hakimi, and I thought they basically got that wrong over the years. Right, we need to crack on, Terry, because there's a load more of La Liga we need to give a nod to. So look, let's do Betis and Real Sociedad together. So the two teams, Athletic play Osasuna later, so we won't talk about that. So Real 1, Betis 2, Almeria 0, Real Sociedad 2. So the two teams up there who had good weekends, those two teams.
Yep, so Real Sociedad, quite straightforward actually, and things are just rolling along nicely. Sholoff with a good finish. David Silva, pleasing to see him amongst the goals. it's not an easy place. They're going to get a comfortable win, which is exactly what they did. They're in really good form. Oyarzabal coming back off the bench again, and it was a good weekend again for Real Sociedad. They were really impressive. Betis found it harder going. Mm. One of the flukier goals you'll see this season. I'm still not sure whether Catania or Dimitrievski get the initial contact corner delivered into the near post. If people haven't seen it, it's punched or headed away. I think it was headed away.
Right, okay. I thought it was a punch, into the back
exactly.
of his head, isn't it? Yeah.
And then it's in towards Ivan Baliu. Mm. Doesn't know anything about it. It's on the back of the head and flies back in towards the goal. So it was a fluky start to the game for Betis. Real responded really well. And Luis Enrique, the 52-year-old.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Luis with a Z, Enrique with a H. Looks to be a really good signing by Betis. He's getting better and better. Found it difficult to start the season to get a regular spot. Now he's become one of those players that you think, oh, he has to play. Exciting run, step over, dribble, and a nice finish. And then it was a tough going for Betis to hold on. Didn't play particularly well. I don't think they've played particularly well for some time now. Mm. But they're ticking over, getting the points, keeping themselves above Atletico Madrid. I think when they do start playing well, it's a genuine possibility that they'll be top four this year. Pellegrini's doing a good job, really good job.
Everyone else is a relegation battle, basically, once we've done the top few.
It is, you're right, actually. Teams that have punched above their weight suddenly are slipping up and dropping points, and you're looking at teams, you think, that points total, the haul they've got at the moment, might serve them handy.
Yeah, Mallorca, for example, have got 22 points. So they're, what are they? They're not quite two-thirds of the way there, but, you know, who knows what it will be. So that was, they got a 94th-minute winner, didn't they, against Valladolid. So that kind of thing is a big result, isn't it? Cadiz getting a win away to Valencia. There's a lot of 1-0s. Cadiz, right, so Valencia had 73% of possession in that game. And their XG, this is very modern here, 73% of possession, XG 0.4. So all of that
possession,
but nothing, basically.
Well, they were slinging crosses in left, right, and centre, and totally dominating the game. And you saw the interview with Jose Gaya after the game, and he's saying we literally tried every way possible to score a goal.
He scored a really good goal, didn't he?
And they just couldn't find a way through. It was stubborn defending from Cadiz in numbers. They score an early goal. 9 minutes from Ruben Alcaraz, a fantastic goal as well. And they're on a decent runner from Cadiz. And then they just defend in numbers. They're hanging on for dear life for 81 minutes. Probably you're looking at it and thinking, but this isn't going to be doable. We can't hold on to this for that long. We need to have some attack in play, but they couldn't change the flow of the game. Dug in there and through Valencia, I think lost patience. There were times where they're just slinging the ball into the box, hoping that Cavani's going to get on the end of something. Mm. And they stopped playing their usual free-flowing style of football. Mm. Shooting from distance and stuff like that, which would mean the expected goals, you know,
you're shooting
from 25, 30 yards.
Yeah.
When you could keep the ball and recycle the ball and be a little bit more patient. So a young team, Valencia, and in this game, they showed their naivety a little bit, to be honest.
Their underlying stats are good. So in that respect, you say they shouldn't be where they are, but they are where they are. And they're not enough points clear of the teams that we'd say are definitely in a relegation battle. So therefore, they're in a relegation battle.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary division. When you look at it, you've got the race, the title race, the top four, five, six race. And then from then on, you're looking at the teams below that. As you say, you could go literally anywhere down. I mean, as you say, I think the top seven.
Yeah, you're not saying that Mallorca.
I don't think Rayo
and
Osasuna. I don't think they'll go down.
Yeah,
but so I think that they'll be okay. But certainly Rayo, 23 points. Yeah, I don't think they'll go down. But they need to accumulate more points. There's always the possibility and potential of going on a bad run of form. Elche clearly are favourites at the moment. Weird team, Elche. I mean, they lose a game against Celta Vigo. Aspas scores early on. Elche was as good as they've got. They went rubbish. They're just short. They're so similar to Levante last season. You look at the third manager, and I'm looking at him thinking, what could Pablo Machin do different? Not a lot. I think he's playing a decent system. He's getting, you know, Lucas Boyer and Roger Marti up front. But they never threatened in this game to win this game. So this was a game between, and Celta Vigo, I don't think it's particularly great this season. Carvajal has come in and changed the system, but it still looks like a team that's going to struggle. So, you know, therefore, you're looking at them 16 mm-hmm. points. Valladolid, it should have been a draw, this match. Neither team really deserved all 3 points, but then Kennedy gives away a stupid foul. Mallorca's only real possibility of scoring in this game, not only, but their best possibility was set pieces, particularly when Kane and Lee came on. And you can tell they're a team, and Aguirre switched them on. They're solid defensively. They have a threat in Marici, and then they work really hard on attacking set pieces. So if you're Valladolid, don't keep giving away silly fouls. And that's what Kennedy did. Ball breaks wide after, it must be after the set piece, because Antonio Rayo, big centre-back, is up. He goes into a right-wing position. He gets the ball to his feet. He looks like the winger. He's up against Kennedy, who's not been on the pitch long. And he tries to knock it past Kennedy to get to the byline and whip a cross in. At that time, Marici was off. And you're thinking, Kennedy is a quick, sharpish winger. Stay on your feet. Just run with the player. Don't do anything silly. Because Ryan isn't going to outpace you and do a step over on a Cruyff turn and get past you. And Kennedy just lazy defending, lunged in instead of running, sprinting. Staying with the defender and blocking the cross. He lunged in, gave away a stupid foul. And as soon as he did that, I thought, Mallorca are going to score from this. And then we're going to look at this and go, those small details that have cost teams the importance of not giving away a stupid free kick. And the ball comes in and Abdon Prats from the set piece, good delivery from Kang Lee. It was textbook. He just knew it was going to happen. And he flashes the ball past the keeper in the 94th minute to take all 3 points. So those small differences, it's so frustrating for a coach. Paqueta must be looking there and thinking, oh, what have we done? We've now got another set piece to defend with practically the last kick of the game. All you had to do was stay on your feet, block the cross. You're not going to get outstripped and outs. They're done by a bit of skill by a big centre-back who's probably open. Oh, please bring me down.
One final game. Richard Cosmala would like us, Terry, to give a nod to Yangel Herrera for celebrating a goal.
Yes. I forgot until I realised, oh, God, yeah, no, he's one of those. he had a year on loan at Espanyol. Yeah. It was a really good goal as well. Good game of football.
Yeah, Espanyol 2, Girona 0. 2-2, sorry.
2-2, yes. And Girona guaranteed goals, aren't they? 4 and against. Mm. They can't keep a clean sheet. They score goals in every game. Probably with a better team in this game as well, considering they were away from home.
Yeah.
But Yangel Herrera, you know, popped up with a really good equaliser. But something we haven't seen him do on a regular basis, because he's capable. Making that run into the box, dynamic midfield player, he's really strong, really good in the air. So it was a really good goal. And then I forgot, because he's had a few clubs on loan, I haven't really stamped him down yet with any identity with a particular club. And all of a sudden, then he's giving it the fist pump and everything. Initially, I thought, oh, yeah, please, because he scored a goal. And then you saw, hang on, no, this is at the fans. So I don't know what's happened. It didn't go particularly well for him, Espanyol. I'm assuming he got a bit of grief from the fans in another difficult season for Espanyol. And he probably didn't play as much as he wanted to. So. Yeah, it was the punched fist celebration and a little bit more to the fans of the team that he did play for.
Hossolu got his ninth goal of the season, which is superb. It's second best, isn't it, in the league? Yeah. Lewandowski got more. And yet they're 19th, Espanyol. Yeah. They're another enigma, aren't they? Where you think they're actually just in trouble. Yeah. You know, even though they turn out the odd good performance.
And they're not bad. I mean,
we haven't done Sevilla, are you? Sorry, we'll do two more games.
Yeah, yeah. they're not bad, Espanyol. I have to be honest. Looking at the league table again, they're not rubbish. So you're looking at those teams with a possibility of Espanyol 14, Cadiz 15, Sevilla 15, Celta 16, and there's teams on 17 and 18 and 19. Can you write 22? Mallorca out the relegation battle? No. So that's why I'm looking at the bottom of the league and thinking Elche clearly are favourites.
Yeah.
And
favourite, yes.
Just look, it's ridiculous that two seasons on the trot, we've got a team that goes so long without winning a game of football.
Yeah.
And Levante last year nearly got out of trouble in the end. So I can't write Elche off, but I pretty much am. But then, as you said, from then on out, you're going all up to Raya, maybe.
Yeah.
Then they need points, and if any of those teams can turn their form around.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
And Getafe going into the Sevilla game, I think they're underperforming this year. Every time I look at Getafe, I think you've got good, decent defenders, good goalkeeper, midfield players, missing Aaron Bowery through injury, Maya Rao and Enizuno up front. You should be doing better. And they're in the thick of it, aren't they? On 17 points as well after their defeat at much needed win for Sevilla.
Oh, it's massive for Sevilla, wasn't it? Yeah.
First home win of the season.
And six goals they've scored this season. So they've scored four goals before that game. So two. It's extraordinary. With all those, you know, with World Cup winners in the team, you've got these guys who could feasibly both win the World Cup and go down in a season because they're, you know, it was a huge result for Sevilla, wasn't it? And they're in trouble for a reason.
A turning point, because you look at the mentality of the club at the moment. They were celebrating a draw last week against Celta Vigo, and now, you know, celebrating as if they'd won the World Cup, hanging on at the end. Mayoral gets a late goal to make it a nervous ending for Sevilla. I think they know the position they're in. I don't think for one minute they'll get relegated, I have to be honest, but they are where they are, and it's a relegation issue at the moment. They're not looking towards anything else other than safety and climbing up the table, and this could be a huge turning point. Ridiculous that I know we've had a month without any football, but to get to the new year and Sevilla haven't won a home game is, you know, in a stadium which in historically in the last 20 years is one of the toughest places to go and win a game of football in. So it's extraordinary. But Acuna, one of those World Cup winners, an important goal. Rafa Mir came off the bench and more than decent header to put them 2-0 up. But that, you know, they conceded the goal for Maya Rose in really good form. Nervy ending, but Sevilla did hold on. So it's you'd like to think it's onwards and upwards now for Sevilla, but we'll see.
Supercopa coming up midweek, that famous old traditional Spanish competition.
Which means the four teams are not playing next weekend in La Liga.
It is
what it is. We spoke about it on the podcast, don't we? That you in the intro, you made light of the fact that he's really need to go off to the Middle East again.
About two games in La Liga.
In the middle of this season, of all seasons, what was wrong with the old Super Cup? I actually thought the format should have changed and been like the English format for the Community Shield, one game. A neutral stadium for the winners of the league and winners of the cup. We used to have two legs, didn't we? Home and away. I always thought there's no real need for the two legs.
Yeah, especially when it was now, really load of aggro, morbo.
Exactly.
But we've got four teams. Yeah.
And we've got four teams of the season playing a semi final and a final, missing a round of league matches.
Yeah. Because Valencia lost the cup final there, innit? So it's honestly. Blame Gerard Piqué.
Yes, we will do.
His idea.
We will do. Do you know what? We'll watch it, though.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be watching it somehow.
It's on BT. Well, it's on BT, if you got that, in the UK. And Ireland,
is it?
Yeah. So, randomly. Piqué obviously rang someone up there and offered it to them. So we'll be back. Well, I think we need to do something with Patreons. So patreon.com/LTEL. Thank you to the new Patreons. Join us. It's only a couple of quid, a couple of dollars, a couple of euros. and it, it's really good if you did. And so we'll see everybody else for another podcast with what is left of La Liga next week. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.